You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage of the Minnesota Twins. Twins had an off day Thursday, but we're going to talk about Griffin Jackson. I had an episode Wednesday night, philosophical, I would call it, talking about the fan base, the fallout of the fan base, kind of just how things feel right now for Twins fans and how things feel often in a bad season, in a really, really disappointing season. I thought it was good. Maybe you'll think it's good, so please listen, and thank you for listening today. We're approaching pretty soon. We're going to be at 500 episodes. I'm very excited to reach the 500 mark. I think we're going to hit it this offseason, and I'm really looking forward to that. Griffin Jacks pitched Wednesday. It did not go well for him, and it really hasn't gone well for him overall this year. He's got a 6-plus ERA, just getting beat around, too many home runs. But Griffin Jacks is not what you see on the surface to me. Griffin Jacks is, when you dig deeper into the numbers, you can start to understand who he is, what he does well, and what he struggles with. And there are things that he does really, really well. And Griffin Jacks has the components to be a good major league pitcher. That's my main point here when we talk about Jacks and as we look into these numbers. Griffin Jacks can be an effective major league pitcher. I think there are certain ways and things that you need to adjust with him to fully maximize that. And the biggest one, and you know, no starter wants to move to the bullpen, but should be moving Griffin Jacks to the bullpen. Because I'll tell you why. Griffin Jacks is a great slider. Griffin Jacks, his slider is not getting hit this year. Expected batting average, 196. Expected WOBA, which is weighted on base average, it weighs like, basically weighs base total bases in terms of on-base percentage. It's a more advanced on-base percentage because it weighs the result. Like if it's a double, that's weighed heavier than if it's a single, but in on-base percentage, it's equal. A expected WOBA of 284, that's very, very low. That's a very low WOBA. Expected slugging percentage, 390 on that pitch, and whiffing 37% of the time. Hitters are swinging and missing 37% of swings. They're missing on that slider. And the reason is it's averaging over 2,800 RPMs this year. Like it's super high spin. And when you watch him and when he has command of his slider, he's really tough to hit, especially against righties. Like just is really tough. And it's even worked against lefties. Like he gets it under their hands. He'll pitch to the back foot against lefties. But that slider is a really, really good pitch. Another reason to be excited, I think, about Griffin Jacks as a reliever is because his fastball velocity is averaging 92.6, but he's gotten up to 94.9 this year. I think that was his max that I could find, 94.9, so 95-mile-an-hour fastball he's pitched this year. I think if you moved him to the bullpen, and this is what you see, like you saw it with Trevor May, it's a really good example. You move him to the bullpen, I think he's going to be 95-96, and the Twins have recently gotten more velocity out of guys, like helped guys gain velocity. Bailey Ober, I think they're probably going to try to do it with Joe Ryan. Louis Varland in the minors, Matt Cantorino in the minors. You've seen prospects, pitching prospects in the Twins system add velocity. Jordan Balazovic's another one. As he gained weight and got bigger, he added velocity, but I also think the Twins unlocked a little bit of it too. If they can get Jacks up to 90, if he's already probably going to be at 95, 96 out of the bullpen because he touched it already as a starter. So I think he would sit 94, 95, 96, and then you can get him maybe even more. If you can take him up and he's almost to the upper 90s, like I think he has it in his arm. I think he has a very live arm, and he has thrown balls hard this year. Like to average 92.6 miles an hour is not nothing. It's not like 90 where you don't feel like even – a good example is Lewis Thorpe. Lewis Thorpe's fastball, and he's been hurt, but even when he was healthy, it was averaging like 90, 91. And you just never got the sense that Lewis Thorpe could ramp it up out of the bullpen and go up to like 95, 96. That's just not the pitcher he is. So his upside as a reliever is not really there. I think Griffin Jacks has immense upside as a reliever because I think you can get him up there. Like if you can tick him even more, that would be huge and would unlock late inning potential. I think right now he could be a really good longer relief middle innings option, but he's got the wipeout slider. You can match him up mostly against righties. And you think about Cody Stashak and the way that the Twins used him and how well he pitched early on, and he was hurt this year. I still think Stashak could be in the mix next year for the Twins. Really good slider, only through 90-91, but the way that they used him, you know, preferably and especially against right-handers, it gave him an opportunity to throw the slider a lot. It's like the Sergio Romo case, and I love guys like that because it's just a matchup nightmare for a righty. And the difference here is Cody Stashak's slider averaged 2,200 RPMs. Griffin Jacks gets almost 600 more RPMs on his slider. Like, his slider is really high spin. It's a better pitch than Cody Stashak's slider. And Stashak was effective out of the bullpen. I think Jacks loses his command of it in games. I think sometimes he just doesn't have slider command, and that's going to happen. But when he does, and if he's coming out of the bullpen, that's huge. I mean, he's going to get outs for you, and I think in the long term could potentially turn into a late inning option. I think he has the mental fortitude for it. Being, you know, an Air Force captain, I think he's resilient, and they've talked about that too. You need to be resilient as a reliever. You need to be able to flush bad things, and I think Griffin Jacks can do that. Let's look at the numbers. I'm going to tell you why he should be moved to the bullpen, because it's not like I want him to be moved to the bullpen. Like, I would love for him to be in the mix as a rotation member next year, even as a sixth or seventh starter. Let's talk about why I think they should do this. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com. It's always tricky. Like, you don't want to move guys to the bullpen too fast, right? You don't want to move them before maybe they can make an adjustment. And maybe Griffin Jacks really improves his changeup, because that's the problem right now, is his changeup's getting destroyed. The first time through the order, this is why I think Griffin Jacks can be really, really good out of the bullpen and maybe through a lineup one time, because the first time through an order this year, opponents are hitting 135, 222 on base, slugging 292, 514 OPS. He's striking out 21% of hitters the first time through the order. And then you look the second time through, it is such a stark increase. His OPS against doubles the second time through the order. Opponents are hitting 326 with an OPS over 1,100. And then the third time through, opponents are hitting 362 with an OPS over 1,000 as well. It's insane. It's such a big difference, the adjustments that they're making against him the second time through. And it's simply that he doesn't have a good third pitch. Like, he just doesn't have a third pitch, and he doesn't have enough fastball as a starter to get through a lineup a second and a third time effectively. That's what it is for Griffin Jacks. Pitch 1 through 25 in a game. This is the most intriguing thing for me, because if he's coming out of the bullpen, he's throwing 1 to 25 pitches in between that as a reliever. I mean, maybe he could be a longer reliever, and we'll discuss that. But pitches 1 through 25, 81 plate appearances this year. Opponents are hitting 164 with a 247 on base percentage, slugging 356, OPS 603. So he's dominating pitches 1 through 25. And you can say, like, he hasn't had a big enough sample. The Twins don't let their starters face a lineup a third time very often, so it's not fair. Well, Griffin Jacks has a sample size. Like, pitches 26 through 50, 88 plate appearances. Opponents' OPS is 778, so 175-point increase. Pitches 26 through 50. Pitches 51 through 75, 91 plate appearances. Probably because at this point in the game, like, those are long innings for him. 338 opponents are hitting with an OPS over 1,100 again, and a strikeout rate that drops from 22% in pitches 1 through 25 to 12% in pitches 51 through 75. These are so dramatic to me. These numbers are so dramatic. Like, if it was not as stark, if the difference wasn't that crazy, like, he was decent the first time, got a little worse the second time, and then a little worse the third time, it wouldn't be as clear-cut for me. But he's so good the first time, and he's so bad the second and the third time, and as he throws more pitches, just gets worse as the game goes on. And it's like a full-on, if you had a graph, it's like linear. It's straight up, like opponent's OPS as the game goes on for Griffin Jacks. It's straight up. And again, I think it can be tricky moving guys to the bullpen this quickly, because I want to believe in him, and I want to believe that he can be a sixth or seventh starter for them next year and then hopefully get into the rotation full time with a good campaign. But this is what you find out. I've talked about Griffin Jackson this way, I think, more than Bailey Ober or Joe Ryan even. This is when you find out what you have from these fringe guys, these fringe prospects. Griffin Jacks has shown you, I think, this year in a large enough sample that he can help you win ball games. It's just going to be, how are you going to let him help you win ball games? Is he more, does he provide more value to you, the Minnesota Twins, as a sixth or a seventh starter next year, or in the bullpen? Because we know they need relief arms, and we know that they're going to be filling out their bullpen. They need effective relievers, and I think Griffin Jacks can be that. I don't think that it benefits you as much to have him as a sixth or seventh starter. I think the most value you could get from him is if you're still, and they're still going to be watching innings for Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan and those guys next year, the young guys, everyone. I mean, not one Twins pitcher other than Jose Berríos went over 120 innings this year. So again, next year, they're going to be watching innings. They're going to have 7, 8, 9 starters probably, in terms of just guys that are going to end up making a start or two. So Griffin Jacks is probably going to make starts next year for the Twins. They're going to need arms. But I think the most value that he could provide to you is if Bailey Ober only goes 4. You get 4 out of Bailey Ober. He kind of labors. Griffin Jacks comes in the 5th. It's the first time he's seeing those hitters in that game. Can pitch the 5th, maybe pitch the 6th, potentially based on matchups, get to the 7th if he's pitching well, because that's still only one time through usually, and maybe you pull him before he faces that lineup the second time, you know, when he's in his third inning of work. But he can throw 30, 40 pitches, you know, and if he's throwing well, you still get him out of there because you've seen the numbers, you see what happens. It's such a big difference that at that point you would take him out, but that provides value because he's not just some 6th inning guy that kind of parlays you into the 7th inning. He's actually giving you multiple innings, and he's a long reliever who we know can get outs when a hitter's seeing him for the first time. He's dominant. So that's where I think he would provide the most value to the Twins in the future, would be that role. And I think especially in 2022, because there is value in that. Like we talked about Randy Dobnak before the season. It worked out disastrously for Dobnak as a long reliever. You provide a lot of value to your team because you can spell the bullpen. You can help out those young pitchers who are on a pitch count or innings count. You can be effective in the middle innings for multiple innings at a time. That is very helpful to the Twins. That's very helpful to winning ball games. I want to talk about a reliever that the Twins did not protect, a pitcher that the Twins did not protect in the Rule 5 draft. Let's talk about Tyler Wells after the break and what he's done this year for Baltimore, because it's important to reflect. It's important to think about how the Twins could be better and where they've kind of failed to be better. So let's talk about Wells after the break. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked on there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Tyler Wells, Twins prospect, was not protected in the Rule 5 draft-related activities, was not added to the 40-man roster. Akil Baddoo was also not added. And Akil Baddoo, we know, has been the talk of the season in terms of Twins mistakes. You just added on, like, yeah, Alexander Colomé, J-Hap, Matt Shoemaker. Oh, and they also let this young center fielder go who's, you know, hitting at that time. He was hitting like 300 with an OPS over 800, was in the Rookie of the Year race. He slowed down a lot, but Akil Baddoo has still had a really good year. 114 OPS plus, so 14% better than league average, 39 extra base hits. He's had a really, really nice year for Detroit. The jury remains out whether he'll be like a long-term asset, but I think he will be. Like, I think he's leading the American League in triples. He's got 39 extra base hits. He can hit for power. He can get on base a little bit. 324 on base in your rookie season as a Rule 5 pick. And I don't even think Akil Baddoo's played above high A. He might have played a double A in 2019. But the Twins didn't believe that they were losing a whole lot by not protecting him. Instead, use those roster spots. Looks even worse on guys like Derek Law, Ian Jabal. You know, use those 40-man roster spots on relievers who we either haven't seen or relievers who've gotten crushed in Minnesota. So Akil Baddoo was definitely a mistake. I think Tyler Wells was also a mistake to not protect him looking back. And hindsight's 20/20. You know, usually these processes are sound. Like, I talked about Akil Baddoo. I talked about trading Lamont Wade Jr. for Sean Anderson. Lamont Wade's had a great year in San Francisco and how it made so much sense at the time. But you got to look back and you have to evaluate. Tyler Wells in 25 games out of the Baltimore bullpen from June 2nd to September 8th, 31 innings, 1.74 ERA, 33% strikeout rate, walk rate 1.8%, opponents hit 132, 147 on base, 217 slugging percentage for a 364 OPS in that time against Tyler Wells. Like, just dominant. And you watch him and it checks out. He's touching 97, 98, hard biting slider, just everything you want out of a right-handed reliever. And the Twins just don't have enough of those guys. You get so excited for Jorge Alcala, as you should be, and as I should be excited about Jorge Alcala because his stuff is so ridiculous. Some teams have like six of those guys these days, and the Twins have one. I mean, Taylor Rogers throws 96, 97, but it's with sync. You know, he's not exactly trying to, I would say, strike you out at all times. To lose a guy like Tyler Wells is painful because the Twins just haven't had enough hard-throwing relievers who miss bats. They just haven't had it enough. And it's great. Like, they turned Tyler Duffy into a really good reliever, and he's been up and down this year, but one of the best relievers in baseball from 2019, the second half of 2019 into 2020, with just adjusting his pitch mix. And they've done a good job of that over the years. Trevor May, I already talked about today, moving to the bullpen, big velocity out of him. They just don't have enough. And so to lose Tyler Wells hurts extra. Losing Akil Baddoo sucks. But I think the Twins are going to have a really good outfield for the next handful of years without him. Like, I hope that they extend Byron Buxton, but even without Buxton, you know, you have Kirilloff, you have Larnach, you have Kepler, you have pieces there in the outfield. You know, Austin Martin's going to factor into the outfield. Royce Lewis could factor into the outfield. Top prospects. You know, I think that they're going to be okay. Jose Miranda could potentially play left field if they felt comfortable. I think they're going to be okay in the outfield. It's losing hard-throwing relievers and starters that hurts because the Twins need every guy that they can get in that regard. And to watch Luis Gil for the Yankees, again, at that time, sound logic. It's not like the logic wasn't sound in trading Luis Gil for Jake Cave. Luis Gil was at rookie ball, like 18 years old. But now you see him throwing 98 for the Yankees with a nasty slider, you know, just dominating. Didn't dominate the Twins, thank goodness. But it hurts extra because of how badly the Twins need that right now. And you can't help but think, like, if they had kept Luis Gil, if they had him right now, if they had Tyler Wells right now, would they be less apt to go after pitching in trades for Nelson Cruz? Would they be less apt to trade Jose Barrios when we look toward 2022 to get Semyon Woods-Richardson and Austin Martin? Would they be less likely to do those things if they just had better pitchers that had come through the system that they could build around? I think the answer is probably yes. I think the answer is probably yes if you're thinking about Akil Baddoo. You know, if he's in the conversation right now, I think the Twins are probably a lot more aggressive shopping Max Kepler, which would bring back value. I think they'd be a lot more aggressive in shopping Byron Buxton, which I don't think is a good thing. But I think they'd be more aggressive in doing that because they can be, because they have these insurance pieces and they just don't have them now. You know, they just lost Tyler Wells and they just lost Akil Baddoo for nothing by not protecting them and by not putting them on the 40-man roster. Jose Miranda went unprotected before this season, was not selected. Jose Miranda is now leading the minor leagues in hits and hitting .343 at the upper minors with a .974 OPS. He's got 28 home runs in like 110 games or something crazy like that. Talk about Miranda almost every day on this podcast because he does look like such a big part of the future for the Twins. Imagine if he was picked and was having this year. Mistake again not to add him to the 40-man roster. I think the first thing the Twins will probably hope to do this offseason will be to add Jose Miranda to the 40-man roster. There's a great article coming out from Seth Stowe's kind of breaking these things down. I made a video about Wells and Akil Baddoo and Jose Miranda and Bailey Ober too, because the Twins protected Ober and that looks like a good decision. But talked about them. I hope you enjoyed the Griffin Jacks talk. Let me know your opinion. If you think I'm wrong, tell me and tell me why. If you agree with me, you don't have to tell me, but that'd be great. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. It'll be exciting. Twins baseball, 2 weeks left, and they are absolutely in the mix for the playoffs in terms of making an impact. Not in the playoffs, but they're playing the Blue Jays 7 times, and those games really, really matter for Toronto, trying to make the wild card game, tied with Boston and New York, I think, today. Just crazy. And the Twins will probably see Jose Barrios at Target Field next weekend, but not this weekend. So that'll be a fun storyline as well. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day, and go Twins.